Ms. Sharon Holly, I'm a member of the coalition. I have a few announcements first before I introduce Audre Lorde. To prevent the inconvenience you experienced tonight by waiting outside so long, we want to recommend that we will not seat anyone tomorrow until 8:15. Therefore, if you can come about that time and be assured of a good seat. The Beth O'Hara Band invites everyone to come down to the Schuper House on Niagara Street and dance after tonight's reading. With a ticket stub from the reading, admission is only $1 instead of $2. Friday, I beg your pardon?
Where?
At the Schuper House. I might mispronounce all these things wrong. Is that right? It's the okay. Okay. Friday, May 7th, the Women's Studies College Poetry Workshop will be given a reading celebrating the fifth edition of Room of Our Own. There will be refreshments and child care available. It is at 108 Winspear at 7:30 p.m. An open reading will follow. All women are invited to read. Also Friday, May 7th, an all-women's dance will be held at the Unitarian Universalist Church, Elmwood and West Ferry, sponsored by Emma, Buffalo Women's Bookstore, from 1 to 9 p.m. I'm sorry, I got it back. From 9 to 1 p.m. Admission is $1.50. Refreshments will be served. On Saturday, May 8th, Emma, the Buffalo Women's Bookstore, will be celebrating her sixth birthday. The celebration will be all day long with music, refreshments, and a store discount. Please stop in at 168 Elmwood at North. Also, Saturday, May 8th, Woman Space Coffee House, sponsored by Buffalo State Women's Group, will meet 7:30 at Bacon Hall at Buffalo State. On Saturday evening at 9 p.m., May 8th, Carasa will hold a fundraising dance at the Unitarian Church, corner of Elmwood and West Ferry, featuring Pauline and the Perils and the Elements. Sunday, May 9th, Olga Brumas plus women writers from the Women's Writing Center in Casanova, New York, will be reading from their works and performing at the Allentown Community Center. On Friday, May 14th, there will be a roller skating party sponsored by the Mattachin and the Gay and Lesbian at the Gay and Lesbian Community Center at New Skate Land, Main and Ferry, 7 to 11 p.m. Saturday evening, May 22nd, the Committee for Kwanzaa, in cooperation with the Oscar Micheaux Theater, will present a tribute to El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, in this theater. The film, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, a documentary on Malcolm X by Gil Noble, will be shown, and the program will include commentary, dance, drama, and poetry. Donation so far is $2. It might go up. May 17th, Monday night at 6:30, Carasa will hold a potluck meeting at 121 Norwood Avenue in Buffalo. All interested are welcome. On July 17th, bus transportation is available to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, to demonstrate outside the National Right to Life Convention. They will demonstrate to protest any restrictions on women's right to control her own body, to stop the Human Life Federalism Amendment, to support lesbian and gay liberation, to oppose all forms of sterilization abuse, and to end Reagan's racist anti-people policies here and abroad. Now, to introduce Audre Lorde, a black woman who happens to write and is quite good at what she does. Audre was born in New York City to West Indian parents. Her most recent book of poetry, Chosen Poems, will be published by W.W. Norton and will be out next month. She also will have another book coming out this fall by Persephone Press called Zani, A New Spelling of My Name. Among her other books, and she told me not to mention this, but I had written it, it was just too much to erase. Among her other books are The First Cities, Cables to Rage, From a Land Where Other People Live, New York Head Shop and Museum, The Black Unicorn, The Cancer Journals, and numerous articles and papers, including The Master's Tools Will Never Dismantle the Master's House, published in This Bridge Called My Back. At this time, I'd like to introduce to you, coining the titles of two of her books, I would like to introduce A Black Unicorn from a Land Where Other People Live, Audre Lorde.
I'm very glad to be here, and I've also been really very impressed and very warmed by the kind of work that was necessary to bring this evening together and to have you sitting here and to have it be a reality. I'm very interested in the ways in which we ignore our differences and the ways in which those differences therefore operate against us rather than for us, and some of the ways in which we must begin to use them to bring ourselves together. And of course that requires that we recognize the things that we do not see in each other's eyes. And so I would like to start the reading tonight by stressing some of the things we do share, some of the ways in which we do come together. And the title of this poem is For Each of You. And that's what it is for each of you. Excuse me. Be who you are and will be. Learn to cherish that boisterous black angel that drives you up one day and down another. Protecting the place where your power rises, running like hot blood from the same source as your pain. When you are hungry, learn to eat whatever sustains you until morning, but do not be misled by details simply because you live them. Do not let your head deny your hands any memory of what passes through them. Nor your eyes, nor your heart. Everything can be used except what is wasteful. And you will need to remember this when you are accused of destruction. Even when they are dangerous, examine the hearts of those machines which you hate before you discard them. And do not mourn the lack of their power, lest you be condemned to relive them. If you do not learn to hate, you will never be lonely enough to love easily. Nor will you always be brave, although it does not grow any easier. Do not pretend to convenient beliefs, even when they are righteous. You will never be able to defend your city while shouting. Remember, our sun is not the most noteworthy star, only the nearest. Respect whatever pain you bring back from your dreaming, but do not look for new gods in the sea. Nor in any part of a rainbow, each time you love, love as deeply as if it were forever, only nothing is eternal. Speak proudly to your children, wherever you may find them. Tell them, you are the offspring of slaves, and your mother was a princess in darkness. May I ask that you hold your applause until the end, that when you get something from a poem, that you use it, right, that you take it in and hold it. That's the main reason, and also because it makes me nervous. The title of the book, which will be out, is Chosen Poems Old and New. And the set of new poems which are in it are roughly a set of poems that I'm not finished working on yet, and I guess I call them their poems for women in rage. And this is the first one of them, and that is the title of it, A Poem for Women in Rage. A killing summer heat wraps up this city, emptied of all who are not bound to stay. A black woman waits for a white woman, leans against the railing in the Upper West Side street at intermission, the distant sounds of Broadway dim to lulling, until I can hear the voice of sparrows. Like a promise, I await the woman I love, our slice of time, a place beyond this city's pain. In the corner phone booth, a woman glassed in by reflections of the street between us. Her white face dangles a tapestry of disasters seen through a veneer of order. Her mouth drawn like an ill-used road map to eyes without core, a bottled heart, impeccable credentials of old pain. The veneer cracks open. Hate launches through the glaze into my afternoon. Our eyes touch like hot wire. The street snaps into nightmare. A woman with white eyes is clutching a bottle of Fleischmann's gin, is fumbling at her waistband, is pulling a butcher knife from her ragged pants. Her hand arcs backward. You black bitch! The heavy blade spins out toward me, slow motion. Years of fury surge upward like a wall. I do not hear it clatter to the pavement at my feet. But the gears of ancient nightmare churn swift in familiar dread and silence. But this time, I am awake, released. I smile. Now, this time, it is my turn. I bend to the knife, my ears blood drumming. Across the street, my lover's voice, the only moving sound within white heat. Don't touch it. I straighten, weaken, then start down again, hungry for resolution, simple as anger and so close at hand. My fingers reach for the familiar blade, the known grip of wood against my palm. For I have held it 1,000 nights for this. I have held it to the whetstone 1,000 nights for this. Escorting fury through my sleep like a cherished friend, to wake in the stink of rage behind the sleep-white face of love. The keen steel of a dreamt knife sparks honed from the whetted edge with a tortured shriek. Between my lover's voice and the gray spinning, a choice of pain or fury, slashing against judgment like a crimson scar, I could open her up to my anger with a point sharpened upon love. In the deathland, my lover's voice fades like the roar of a train derailed on the other side of a river. Every white woman's face I have loved and distrust is upon it, eating green grapes from a paper bag, marking yellow exam books tucked into a manila folder, orderly as the last thought before death, I throw the switch. Through screams of crumpled steel, I search the wreckage for a ticket of hatred, my lover's voice calling the knife at her throat. In this steaming aisle of the dead, I am weeping to learn the name of those streets my feet have worn thin with running, and why they will never serve me nor ever lead me home. Don't touch it, she cries. I straighten myself. In confusion, a drunken woman is running away down the west side street. My lover's voice moves to a shadowy clearing. I refuse to become my own nightmare, corralled in fantasy. The woman with white eyes has vanished to become her own. A French butcher blade hangs in my house, now love's token. I remember this knife as it carved its message into my sleeping. She only read its warning written upon my face. Often, we become frozen into relationships, and when we try to break them, we have no weapon that will break the form without reducing the substance. And it sometimes is very hard to be able to readjust so that when we say sister, we do not carry with it all of the pain or all of the misunderstanding from the days we were born. And the title of this poem is, I must tell you also that I love to get up early, or when the sun comes up. And it's very hard finding people to talk to at that time of the day. And that's part of the strength of this poem. But it's also a very magical time for me. It's a very powerful time early in the morning because I wake from sleep and I feel renewed and I feel very full of the strength that I've gained, that I've given myself. Sister, morning is a time for miracles. A core of the conversations we never had lies in the distance between your wants and mine, a piece of each buried beneath the wall that separates our sameness, a talisman of birth hidden at the root of your mother's spirit, my mother's furies. Now reaching for you with my sad words between sleeping and waking, what is asked for is often destroyed by the very words that seek it, like dew in the early morning dissolving the tongue of salt as well as its thirst. And I call you secret names of praise and fire that sound like your birthright but are not the names of friends. While you hide from me under 100 excuses, lying like tombstones along the road between your house and mine. I could accept any blame I understood, but picking over the fresh and possible loneliness of this too early morning, I find the relics of my history fossilized into a prison where I learn to make love forever better than how to make friends. Where you are encased like a half-stoned peach in the rigid arts of your healing, and in case you have ever tried to reach me and I could not hear you, these words are in place of the dead air still between us. A memory to conversations we will not be having, to laughter shared and important, as the selves we help make real, but also to the dead revelations we buried, stillborn in the refuse of fear and silence and your remembered eyes, which do not meet mine anymore. I never intended to let you slip through my fingers, nor to purchase your interest ever again like the desire of a whore who yawns behind an upturned hand, pretending a sigh of pleasure. And I have had that too already. Once I thought when I opened my eyes, we would move into a freer and more open country, where the sun would illuminate our different desires and the fresh air do us honor for who we were. Yet I have awakened at 4 a.m. with a ribald joke to tell you and found I had lost the name of the street where you hid under an assumed name, and I knew I would have to bleed again in order to find you, but just once, in the possibilities of this too early morning, I wanted you to talk not as a healer, but as a lonely woman talking to a friend.